Hi, Tom.
Yes, I. There's Mike Beenan on the phone right now, and I wanted to play something for you real quick. There you go. Mike Beenan, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, Tommy J. That was a great one.
Well, we're have you on the line because you're a coastal expert, and there's been a lot of controversy. I pushed some photographs into Stu News of a Aliso Creek berm breach, and we watched surfers dig the hole and then commenced to ride a standing wave that's created there. By the way, the surfers did their own video of that, which reached it all the way out nationally to MSN. But I've got surfers saying, oh, no, it's not the surfers. It's the city who's doing it. And you're giving misinformation. And I'm like, what? So I have Mike Beenan on the phone. You are the expert on this whole issue.
Well, yeah, Tommy J. And it's been a problem really for decades. So let's back up for a second and understand how important beach berms are. So California has lost 90% of its coastal wetlands, and these are the nurseries for our fish. And the reason why we lost them is development, marinas, neglect, and vandalism, basically. And so what are examples of healthy berms in our area is Main Beach. So Laguna Creek drains, obviously, all the way through Laguna Canyon, but it never reaches the ocean because it's diverted during the summer. And the boardwalk actually sits on the Main Beach berm. Doheny has a similar berm where San Juan Capistrano draws out the excess urban runoff to protect the berm. And of course, Trestles at the end of San Mateo Creek has a natural seasonal berm.
And they also have steelhead trout up in their creek.
Exactly. And this is why the berms are so important. So U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has designated Aliso Estuary as a target location for restoring tidewater goby, which is a little indicator fish of a healthy environment. But it's also a place for the southern steelhead trout to go through a process called smoltification. And this is because southern steelhead trout are born in fresh water at the headlands of these creeks and streams in Southern California. And then using rain and water, they eventually work their way down to the coastal wetlands, where they spend about 6 months in salty water to change from a freshwater fish to a saltwater fish. And then when the storms come, the storm water is such that it blows the berm out, and the southern steelhead trout go out into the ocean as adults, spend their lives in the ocean, and then they wait to return years later when the berm is breached again by a storm to swim inland and lay their eggs and repeat the process.
I like how you call the area there at Aliso the Lagoon of Laguna.
Exactly. And Laguna Ocean Foundation has done a terrific job. And the city and various state agencies have spent over $1 million in planning to bring the lagoon back to Laguna. But key to all this, of course, are two things. One is the amount of water flowing in the creek during the dry season and the integrity of the beach berm protected from vandals digging it out.
I can't believe, though, that folks are denying that that is happening. It seems like a non sequitur for what we're actually seeing with our eyes. And you got a program called Berm Buddies to be able to kind of help educate folks.
Right. And we were very lucky to attract two very talented marine scientists. First was Allison Santos and now Sabrina Medina. And they're both marine scientists with degrees from UC Irvine, and set up a program to educate and monitor the berm that we call the Berm Buddies. And Berm Buddies is a nod to scuba diving and scuba diving safety. I'm a scuba instructor, and one of the first rules of scuba diving is the buddy system. And we thought Berm Buddies speaks to our connection to protecting the beach berm.
I want to let people know that Mike is a weekly or even more often swimmer out to the kelp forest offshore. He's an excellent waterman and surfer.
Yep. Well, I was fortunate enough to grow up in Northern California and surfing those very, very cold and dangerous waves. And we always had an eye towards moving south. And then in the military, I was in SEAL team, and that gave me a lot of training in all phases of water work. And my specialty was underwater navigation. So, yeah, I have a strong connection to the ocean, and I'm very proud that we created the first scuba diving training program for paralyzed veterans, polio victims, and others here in Laguna Beach back in the late 70s.
Wow, it's a wonderful program, getting folks that have paralyzed parts of their bodies to get them out and experience underwater scenes with the help of a buddy and a breathing apparatus.
Right. It's you change people's environments, and I think that changes our perception and maybe gives us an idea of what's possible. So going back to the creek, as I said, the two things is the integrity of the berm and the amount of water. When we started this process decades ago, there were tremendous amount of water flowing year-round into the creek and obviously flooding the berm. And because the Blue Belt Coalition was able to work with inland cities and water districts, we've dramatically reduced the flows down by half. And we're still working on that last bit to take it out. Fortunately, in 2014, a Aliso Creek Urban Runoff Recovery, Reuse, and Restoration Project was funded for about $2.3 million.
Nice.
And the idea of that was that the coastal treatment plant would pull any excess water out of the creek, clean it, and then sell it as recycled water. Unfortunately, when the permit was issued, they set the withdrawal rate too high. So the city has to go back in now and revise that so we can get that last excess water out of the creek.
Well, good on you guys for doing that. And we've been having reports of the marine mammals being contaminated by an offshore algae bloom. Could you speak to that?
Right, Tommy. That's really a good point. So Aliso Creek is listed contaminated. It's as an impaired water body from the Clean Water Act called 303D, impaired water body for bacteria, phosphorus, nitrogen, and toxicity. And phosphorus and nitrogen is really fertilizer. And these fertilizers feed the microalgae blooms that turn the ocean green. And when they die off, they create a neurotoxin called domoic acid that gets into the marine life food chain. So just as, one cigarette butt thrown on the beach is kind of annoying and 10 is kind of troubling, but 100 is just too much. It's the same with urban runoff. All of these discharges along the Southern California coast bioaccumulate because we are not the Pacific Ocean. We are the Gulf of Santa Catalina. And like the Gulf of Mexico, everything we dump into the waters becomes trapped and recirculates and bioaccumulates in the marine life food chain that leads to these sea lion deaths.
So all of the sewage, mainly, it's fecal matter that is causing the algae bloom to proliferate. Am I correct on that?
Well, actually, I think the sewage districts do a pretty good job of taking the fecal matter out, because fecal matter is really a biomass, and it can be turned into bioenergy. And actually, up in Fountain Valley, they harvest the methane off of the biomass. So what's going out, though, is urban runoff that's fertilizers, and people fertilize their yards, et cetera, and it gets washed out. And during these last big storm events, we had a tremendous amount of water washing into the Gulf of Santa Catalina. And I think that transported a lot of the land-based fertilizers out into the ocean to feed the blooms.
So one of the things that folks are saying is that the berm at Aliso is naturally breached through, like we know, flooding, but maybe wave action or other. And then sometimes it's breached by the county, or now it's going to be the city in charge of that. But how often do those events happen as compared to what's been happening almost daily? And I wanted to read just a note from a Laguna citizen, who Paul. He said that since the city has taken over the jurisdiction of the state of our South Laguna beaches, the Aliso Beach berm has been illegally breached over 50 times, almost daily, releasing millions of gallons of toxic urban runoff into Laguna's marine protected area. It appears that the illegal breaching has increased since the Laguna Beach has taken control. That's from Paul Nout. So what's your response to that?
So up until March, we were with the County of Orange. And what controls the outlet or the beach berm is called the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System Permit, or MPDES permit. And that permit would allow quarterly opening up the berm in the event that it was flooding inland. It does not allow for it to be breached on a daily basis. When it is breached, according to the permit, they have to put up safety fencing. They have to have a biologist there. They have to test the water quality before they discharge it into the marine protected areas. And of course, none of this is being done by the city, because the city isn't used to managing the permit, and it's something we have to circle back. And incidentally, Tommy, we shouldn't be left to having citizens fight other citizens over the safety and well-being of the ocean and safe public access at Aliso Beach. This is something the city council should be taking a lead on and managing responsibly. So we hope that people will turn to the city council and ask them to take some leadership and manage the berm in a way that's safe for the environment and safe for the public.
And isn't it true that the water sitting on the inside of the berm, on the inland side, the plants in there will absorb much of the urban runoff toxin?
Exactly. The city of Irvine does not have an ocean outfall pipe. What they do is they route all of their secondary sewage through the wetlands. The molten wetlands near the university. And as you pointed out, Tommy, the plants bioaccumulate the toxins and actually can take up some of the fertilizers and be used for plant growth.
Well, so that's another educational part for folks to know of the importance of leaving the berm up and keeping the water inland.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing about Aliso Beach is where we're it's the location for the release of the Pacific Marine Mammal Center's rehabilitated sea lions. So in a way, we're releasing our sea lions that we've worked for months to bring back their health into a place where people are digging out the berm and releasing all these this polluted water. So we're really working against ourselves in terms of protecting the marine life.
So again, I want to mention Pacific Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach are overwhelmed with sick, neurotoxic, brain-damaged seals. And recently they've reached the news because they've been biting swimmers off of the strands and Salt Creek beaches.
Right. They're, you know, it's like any of us or any creature, if we're really, really sick, we're really, really anxious. And that's probably affecting their behaviors.
Well, what I wanted to do you have a few moments? I was going to go into your development or the extension of the Blue Belt, the marine protected area, into the South Laguna Beach areas south of the Aliso Beach.
Right. So back in... Well, it was before 2012, a couple of years before 2012, we came together as the Laguna Blue Belt Coalition.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I think it was 2008 is when we first started. And the idea was to bring together groups and organizations in an open kind of format once a month and find out what our concerns were, negotiate the boundaries for the marine protected area in Laguna Beach. and then submit that through testimony to the State Fish and Wildlife Commission, and then follow up with actually implementing management programs that have, quite frankly, been pretty successful in Laguna Beach.
And so you have information about more possibility for more southern beaches, or is that up for public knowledge now?
Right. So that's, thanks, Tommy. So as I said, it was all a matter of negotiations, and Laguna Beach is really critical to the whole state network in terms of the dispersal of genetic material. So we have Palos Verdes. It's a very steep, rocky shoreline. And then you have La Jolla Coves, which are steep, rocky shorelines. And right in the middle is Laguna Beach with our steep, rocky shorelines. And the reason why rocky shorelines are important is they create reefs and caves that act as nurseries. And it was determined by the scientists that we needed to have a large marine protected area in Laguna Beach to allow for genetic diversity among the sea life in Southern California. So it was first negotiated that the border would be at North Laguna, Abalone Point, and I think it extended down to Totuava, just south of Aliso. And South Laguna was designated a state marine conservation area, but it allowed fishing. So for 10 years, it got pounded pretty hard, and Three Arch Bay obviously suffered as well. Three Arch Bay is very interesting because if you look at the beach there, it's very steep bluffs that drop right to the water. And offshore, there's a rocky reef about 400 yards. And in between, there's a little valley. And what that creates is a mixing zone for fish. When the waves hit Three Arch Bay cliffs or bluffs, they bounce back. And it creates this nice little mixing zone for dolphins to come in and fish when you're out fishing. So the idea is to revise the permit and extend it citywide. And this would allow us to have consistent enforcement throughout the city. And it would be community equity. People in South Laguna want to protect our marine life as much as people in North Laguna, and we'd like to have the full protection. So that's kind of the two rationales for extending southward.
So we like having Three Arch Bay folks on board.
Absolutely. And that's been an evolution as well. Many of us that grew up in California are used to freely going to the beach and fishing wherever and whenever we wanted. But the problem was we got too good at what we did. There was too many of us doing it. And I think many of us have come to realize that we can't just have unlimited fishing all the time. We have to have areas that I like to call the Laguna Beach MPAs. They grow fish, so not a mill fish, though.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, we might be starting to lose your signal a little bit. Any other alohas out there? And also, we want to say again, happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. And we really appreciate everyone's support of the marine life protected areas. As I said earlier, I know it was really tough for many people, many of us, including people in my family, to consider no fishing areas. But I think after 10 years, we're seeing the benefit of it. Our photo contest is documenting success. And our city council is really strongly in support of the marine protected areas. So it's been an evolution, but I think it's really great for our city and something for us all to be proud of.
And to work together on, it's not like us against them or anything like that. It's everybody together for everyone.
Exactly. We want everyone healthy and have a good experience in the ocean.
Well, Mike Beenan and Ginger Wallace, thank you guys for all you have done and continue to do for the health of Laguna, and happy birthday again.
Thank you. Well, you know, when we love something, we'll protect it. And now with climate change obviously upon us, we need to remember that the ocean determines the climate, and we determine the health of the ocean.
Very good. Thank you, Mike.
And thanks again, Tommy.
We're going to throw a little Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Find the cost of freedom.
Thanks again, Tommy, for all you do. Thank you.
Lay your